The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Hey there, welcome to The Undercurrent. I'm Tara Sloan. I hope you're doing well this festive December. This episode has a little bit of a different focus. We're going to veer away from hockey. We're veering towards soccer, women's soccer to be specific. That's because in the spring it was announced that the National Women's Soccer League had awarded an expansion team to the Bay Area. This is exciting news. Bay FC was born that day. Co-founded by four U.S. women's national team legends, Brandi Chastain, Allie Wagner, Danielle Slayton, and Leslie Osborne, Bay FC is set to begin play this March at PayPal Park in San Jose, so they're just a few months away. So I really wanted to welcome our new neighbors to the area. So this is my conversation with one of the founders, former national team member, Olympic silver medalist, broadcaster. She's done everything. Now she's the SVP Strategic Projects and Head of Foundation with Bay FC, Danielle Slayton. Enjoy. Danielle, thank you so much for joining me. You know, when I reached out, I didn't exactly realize what was happening specifically this week and how close Bay FC is to getting started. So thank you so much. This is incredible.
Happy to be here. You're right. It is a big week, but I also think too, like the hits are just going to keep coming. So we're running with our hair on fire now, and I don't expect it to stop anytime soon either.
Right. You are not about to get less busy, but expansion draft, actually, we're talking on Thursday, happens tomorrow on Friday. So I want to get to that and what that entails and what it means. But right now, let's literally start at the beginning with the inception, the idea, the seed for Bay FC. How did this happen?
Oh, I mean, it happened 3 years ago in the middle of the pandemic when I feel like probably a lot of people got crazy ideas because they were sitting around at home. And the announcement from Angel City, I think it was June 2020, came out. And Leslie Osborne, I have to give her credit because she was the real one to take action. But when that announcement came out, she was like, wait, what the heck? Like, how did we not know about this? Because a lot of former teammates of ours, women's national team players, were part of the ownership group alongside some Los Angeles celebrities. And so she reached out to one of our former teammates, Julie Foudy, who is an owner of Angel City, and kind of started sniffing around and trying to figure out what happened. And Julie said, hey, there's some other people, in particular, a woman up in the tech world who is interested in starting a team too. You should talk to her. And so myself, Leslie, Brandi, and Allie, over, you know, a couple of glasses of wine, perhaps, started
that's how chatting. The best ideas are born.
And we said, you know what, if they're doing this down in LA, we should really try this too. And so we started reaching out to folks, this woman in particular, who really just helped plant the seed on how we start to fundraise and how we start to put an entity together, like so many, you know, entrepreneurs here in the Bay Area do. And obviously there's a ton of momentum right now and things are happening, but like things have been happening for us for 3 years. So to see it finally come to fruition, to see like a name, a logo, and now players and drafts happening, all with this idea that started 3 years ago, it's almost surreal. Sometimes I can't even believe it.
So why is the Bay Area the right place for an NWSL expansion team right now?
Oh, I mean, I think there's so many reasons. I mean, you look at the history of the Bay Area and just the kind of people and ideas that get pumped out of this place, I think it is special. But you even dive a little deeper and you look at that just from a women's soccer perspective and you see the youth teams, you see the college teams, Stanford, Santa Clara, Cal, St. Mary's, USF, that continue to have an impact in the game of soccer. You think at the national team players. Well, there's a lot of new national team players on the women's team as we're shifting here. But, you know, you look at the last World Cup roster. And I think it was 35% of the players had ties to the Bay Area. So there's a deep history of women's soccer, of women's football here in the Bay Area. And we just think with that, coupled with the resources, the technology, coupled with us as former players really helping to drive this thing and always remember that our players are core and central to everything we do, we really feel like all of those things combined can be a differentiator for us. And we're competitive as heck and we want to win. So, you know, just throw that on top.
And I mean, you have such deep Bay Area roots, all of you. You won an NCAA championship here in Santa Clara. So, I mean, it's got to be all that much more meaningful for, you know, it's just got so much blood running through it for you.
Yeah. I mean, this place is my home. And actually not a ton of people can say that, it seems like, from the Bay Area, because so many people have transplanted here. But I was born here. I was raised here. I grew up in an apricot orchard, like right off an apricot orchard in East San Jose, not too many miles from downtown. So this place is in my blood. And to be able to give back to this place, to give back to our community, to be a part of it, to contributing towards improving it in the ways that we can. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. And it's something that I feel really, really proud to be a part of.
Do you think, because I spoke to Julie Ehrman when Angel City was just getting launched, and you know, that ownership group is so wild with all these celebs and players. And is that the new blueprint for NWSL or even to sports team ownership?
I don't know. I think that the reality is ownership is evolving and changing. Is this the direction that it will continue to go? Who knows? But the days when, quite frankly, there's just a old rich dude owning a team might not be the only way to do it.
And it's very diplomatic of you not to say white, by the way.
And I think that's part of too, like, why I am so excited to be a part of this organization, not just when you look at the ownership or the way things are structured, just, but more that, like, we can take the things that have been done well historically, but you know what? We get to write our own script a little bit too. And just because it's been done a certain way previously doesn't mean we have to do it that way going forward. And so to have that blank slate in some ways and to get to be a part of shaping this, and hopefully if we do it right, shaping the greater narrative around women's sports, feels really powerful. And it's something that we keep our eye focused on, certainly.
And it's such an amazing time. Your CEO, Brady Stewart, said, this is the moment for women's soccer. And we know we saw the World Cup, you know, the Olympics, there's just this fervor. The attendance numbers are just skyrocketing all over the world. Europe is gangbusters. So would you agree? Is this the moment? And I don't think it's just soccer, by the way. I think this is the moment for women's sport. But would you agree?
Yeah, it certainly feels like it. It feels like the cat's out of the bag. Like, everyone's like, oh, this women's sports thing, like, let's go. But I also feel like there's such a road to continue to travel that, like, this feels like the moment. But I also think that, like, the moment still could be coming. Like, we can still be making progress and climbing up that hill. The reality, though, at least in my experience, and if you, like, look historically at things, like, it's not a straight line. So yes, this is a moment of progress. It feels like there's real momentum. Certainly there's going to be something that, like, takes us a step backwards or a reaction. And then there's going to be something that continues to propel us forward. And we don't know exactly what those things are, but we have to be ready to ride the wave of change, to keep pushing forward, even when it doesn't feel like the wind is always in our sails. Yeah. But right now it certainly does. And we got to, what's the cliche? We got to make hay when the sun is shining, or whatever it is. Yeah. We got to drive when Uber and Lyft prices are surging. And so that's what we're doing right now.
Well, you're right. And you do have to be intentional about persevering because, yeah, we're not there. We haven't achieved parity or equity or equality. And you know, as now, you know, somebody in broadcast, you know, how little or how small a percentage of broadcast is generally devoted to women's sports. So we have a long way to go, but it does feel like there's some fire being caught and that people are like, huh, okay. And totally. Namely, sponsors are also going, huh, which is incredible. And that pertains to BFC And its partnership with Sutter Health, which was, I believe, the biggest in NWSL history. So speak a little bit about that, if you could.
Yeah, I mean, another big announcement that happened this week, too. So, so excited to have Sutter Health as our first founding partner. We'll be on our jersey, our front of kit. And to me, what makes me so excited about this partnership in particular is just really our values alignment. And I think that is how we want to build things, right? It's not just sponsors. It's a partner. Like, this Sutter Health is in partnership with us, and we're going to do big things together. And so when I look at, who we want to show up and be in the world as Bay FC, you think about community, you think about being player centric, and really ensuring that our players' health, well-being, whole person development is at its core. You look at Sutter Health and the things they talk about when they talk about community and compassion and excellence and teamwork. Like, it's there. And so for me, this seems like a no-brainer for our first announcement, our first front of kit sponsor, first front of kit partner, I should say. And I'm ecstatic about taking this step. And, we'll continue to move forward on the partnership front, and hopefully more announcements here to come soon.
This really plays into what the mission statement of Bay FC is. And I'm going to read just a little bit of it, because it actually really hit me, because as a foundation, I think this is incredibly important. Our team will be a uniting force, building a culture of belonging and shared pride. We will be the bridge that unites the Bay's diverse communities. Through our actions and love of the game, we will inspire and improve the lives of others. If money meets mouth on this one, it's huge. And as a foundational starting place, it feels really different than, this is a, obviously everybody wants to make a living and make money, but this feels like the perfect place to start, because it's about just outreach and compassion and love and making lives better.
Yeah. I mean, it, thank you for saying that, because I think we spend a lot of time talking about who we want to be and how we're going to make our little corner of the universe better through soccer. And it's not just about soccer. It's about more than that. And so, when you look at even our logo that has, like, the B Foundation in part of our name, we really do want to be that bridge that unites the Bay, that brings us together. I think what is so spectacular about this area is that we are so diverse, but sometimes when you're diverse, it's hard, right? Because we come from different backgrounds. And so we have to work to find a way to come together. We really think that Bay FC can do that, can help be that uniting force. And so that's what we work toward every day. Community is a big part of how we're going to continue to show up, how we want to get back to the people of the Bay. And we hope we can do it a little differently. That's our intention, certainly.
So obviously, your staff and the players, that is going to be, the product that is out into the world. So how many, you have 7 signed players currently?
I think so.
About
right.
Yeah. And so Friday you have an expansion draft. So I'm not sure, I don't know how it works in soccer. For us in hockey, it works a different way, and it's evolving all the time.
Yeah.
So what will Friday's expansion draft, who puts into that
work,
pool?
Right?
Yeah. How does it work?
Yeah. So there's only 2 teams that are going to be part of the expansion draft, the 2 new expansion teams, which is Bay FC and also the Utah Royals. So those are the only 2 teams you'll see tomorrow with announcements. There's already been a lot of deals done. So you can trade an expansion draft. Like, you can say, hey, if you give me this, then I won't take a player from you. So there's been a lot of those conversations that have already happened. So there's been a number of teams that we cannot take players from in the draft, but there certainly will be some action tomorrow to help continue to make Bay FC the best roster in the NWSL. And then what will follow next month, I think it's January 12th, is the draft that includes everybody in the entire NWSL league. Oftentimes it's called a college draft, but we don't call it a college draft because players can come from outside of college.
Sure.
We're in the global market and the global game, so things work a little bit differently in that way. And so this draft tomorrow, I think, is a very important step, but it'll be smaller just because there's only 2 teams involved.
Right. Okay. So is there anybody, just in terms of all your staff, your coaching staff, executive, players that are already signed, who should we be looking out for?
Oh my goodness. Well, So I'm going to, my bias is totally going to come out here, because our first player that we drafted, or that we signed, I should say, on a transfer deal, was Alex Loera. She's a former Santa Clara Bronco, just like myself. We got her from Kansas City. And when Santa Clara won its second national championship in 2020, she was the defender of the year. I was a defender, so I have deep love for defenders. And so I'm really excited for her to be able to come back to the Bay. She's a defensive center mid. She can also play defensive in the back line, so play in the defensive line as a center back. I think she's going to be real anchoring force for us. There's very much a reason she was our first ever signing in club history, and I'm excited to see how she's evolved and grown in the last few years since I've gotten to see her play consistently at Santa Clara, and welcome her back to Bay FC.
Well, obviously, there's a lot more work to do. I guess the question is, you know, with any expansion team, what is the trajectory? Can this be a fully competitive team out of the gate, or do you approach this as, okay, we know we're going to have to build a little bit?
I mean, I used to play for the U.S. Women's National Team. I want to win everything all of the time, full stop, from day one. Yeah. So I don't think you get in this thinking like, hey, we're going to ease our way into this. Like any other team, we want to win. We want to make the most money. We want to win the most trophies. We want to do all of the things. We know it's really hard thing to do, especially to do it on the condensed time frame that we're trying to do. But certainly the expectation is we are building a roster that is going to hoist trophies, no question. We are building a business plan and hiring amazing people on our staff to make sure our fans have the best possible experience at any sporting event they've ever had, and do all of the things. So is it hard? Yeah. Is it feel sometimes like we're constantly having to prioritize just because there's not enough time? Certainly. But I can promise you our players and our fans are at the core of everything we do. So if it doesn't fall into one of those two buckets in year one, it tends to fall down the priority list. But the product on the field and making sure that our fans have an amazing experience are our two goals front and center every day. It's what we talk about.
Honestly, cannot wait. So PayPal Park is where the team is starting. Any news on a forever home, I guess?
No news there. PayPal Park is our home for the foreseeable future. Our training facilities will be down at San Jose State University. They have partnered with us there. So our training will be in San Jose. We have big aspirations. I mean, I truly do believe that the Bay Area can be a women's football mecca. And as we continue to figure out where our forever home will be, we always keep those values and those core principles in mind.
How much, when events like this happen, when teams like this land in a market, I know the World Cup was here in 1999, I believe. How much does that mean? Like, you know, a kid is watching, a young girl sees this team.
Yeah.
Like, how much of a difference?
I think we're at an incredible time in the United States when it comes to soccer, right? Like, we're in this 5-year period right now where there is so much football coming to our shores. It's amazing. And I think back, so I have a memory of the 94 World Cup, and Brazil had made their camp in Los Gatos. And that was my first real exposure to the global game. And like, these Brazilians like took over downtown Los Gatos. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just thought it was the most amazing thing I had ever experienced and seen. You fast forward 5 years and you have the Women's World Cup and just the mania that took over the United States, and Brandi Chastain does her sports bra thing and wins the whole thing. I mean, that was a whole nother moment. But right now we're in a really, really, I think, amazing stretch, and that we have the Men's World Cup coming here in 2026. The U.S. with Mexico just put in a bid to host the Women's World Cup in 27. We've got the Olympics down in L.A. in 28. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of soccer on our shores, and it's really incumbent, I think, upon us to invest now so that there are these legacy things that can continue long after these major global events come to the United States. And so for us, we've talked about this being like a moment, as you mentioned, in women's sports. I think there's a moment in the United States for soccer. And so Bay FC to be a part of that, to invest in our community, to invest alongside the Quakes and the bid committee for the FIFA 2026 World Cup and all that's going on. It's really important because there are going to be these girls and boys who are going to see BAFC games, who are going to go to World Cup games, and they're going to catch the fever just like I did in 1994. And we've got to be ready to welcome them into our family, whether it's on the field, in the stands, as a part of our greater soccer community.
I love it. I can feel it. It's palpable. It's palpable through our screens here. When does the schedule come out?
So our schedule probably won't come out until end of January, early February. One of the challenges with the NWSL is that, you know, we're in shared stadiums. And so we often share, we share our stadium with the Earthquakes, but there are other MLS teams that share their stadiums with NFL teams. So it's kind of this trickle down effect where you got to do the NFL schedule, you got to do the Major League Soccer schedule, and you got to do the NWSL schedule. So it's a little later than we'd like, but stay tuned, like hang on with us. As soon as we know, we're going to share that with the world, and then you'll be able to really see, you know, what dates you're going to have your butts in seats at PayPal.
Definitely will have my butt in a seat at PayPal. Danielle, before I let you go to do all the millions of things that you have to do, is there anything else that you want the greater public to know at this moment?
I just want to thank people for their support so far. I mean, the outpouring of support has just been phenomenal so far. We are right now, I was actually in the office yesterday, and we are right now, if you made a season ticket deposit, those depositors are getting like converted to season tickets. And as soon as that is done before Christmas, tickets, season tickets will go on sale to the general public. So before Christmas, you could get a Christmas gift, go to bayfc.com, get your season tickets, and scream as loud as you can this spring when we get there in the springtime.
No question. I'll do my vocal warm-ups before I hit the home opener. Danielle, thank you for this. And thank you for your commitment to youth sport and to women's sport. This is a really, really incredible project.
Thanks for hosting me today. And we'll see you at PayPal, Tara.
So I want to thank Danielle once again for giving us her time. They are so, so very busy. So I'm very grateful for that. And, you know, I say this all the time about the Professional Women's Hockey League that's starting up in January. This is huge. This is massive in this area to see best on best. You're going to see all the players that you cheer for in the Olympics every 4 years, but you can see them regularly on the pitch at PayPal Park. So this is a big deal that BAFC is starting. I think they're doing it right. They're doing it with the right intention. So I want to make sure that everybody just pays attention to how things go, you know, who ends up on the team when the play is starting for the season. So make sure you keep on top of that, bayfc.com, for all that information. And I'll continue to let everybody know. So thank you for being with us for this edition of The Undercurrent. I will talk to you in a couple of weeks. I think we're going to talk more hockey. Women's hockey, though, again. I don't know. I'm kind of on a mission here. In the meantime, keep your fins above water.